Thank you for the a cappella music. I'm enjoying it. So we want to welcome you to our church service today. I'm a guest speaker, I guess. I don't usually take part in your services. We have our own church service, which we have set aside today for the communion service with you folks. This is our program for today. We'll have an opening hymn, opening prayer. I'll make some remarks. We will have foot washing time. Since this has to be done online, it's a little different than if we were in a church. During that foot washing time, I will provide some background music for about 15 minutes. We will then have the bread and wine. There will be a scripture reading and a prayer for the bread, and then another scripture reading and prayer for the wine. And then we will have a closing hymn. In Matthew, it tells us that when they finished, they sang a hymn and went out. So we will follow that pattern. So let us begin with a hymn. Break thou the bread of life. I'm not going to sing it. I'm going to provide you with music and the word. Now we bow our heads for prayer. Our most kind Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to worship you. It's a little while that we'll still have the freedom to do so. And we pray that you will bless our efforts and our worship of you today. Send your Holy Spirit to be here with us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Passover was ordained as a commemoration of the deliverance of Israel from Egyptian bondage. God had directed that year by year, as the children should ask the meaning of this ordinance, the history should be repeated. Thus, the wonderful deliverance was to be kept fresh in the minds of all. The ordinance of the Lord's Supper was to commemorate the great deliverance wrought out as a result of the death of Christ, till he shall come the second time in power and glory. This ordinance is to be celebrated. It is the means by which his great work for us is to be kept fresh in our minds. This ordinance is called the Lord's Supper in this passage. However, the world thinks of the Lord's Supper as only part of the service. So I'm going to call this the communion service, to embrace the entire function of this ordinance. Even the communion service doesn't relate to most of the world as the foot washing being a part of it. However, the communion service has the foot washing part, and I'm going to designate as the other part the Lord's Supper. In the foot washing now, we have two parts. We have the server and the served. By the server, I mean the person who is doing the washing. By the served, I mean the person who gets his feet washed. And of course, they switch places. So each gets to be both. In the Lord's Supper now, we have the partaking of the bread and of the wine. I'm going to turn these around. I'm going to talk about the served first, then the server. I'm going to talk about the wine first, and then the bread. However, the sequence of things that take place will be as we have listed them in the program. The Passover was ordained as a commemoration of the deliverance of Israel from Egyptian bondage. God had directed that year by year, and this is the quote I gave you before, but I've underlined great deliverance and his great work for us. I want to take this part of the remarks to apply these to the served, the person who is served, and I'm going to spend more time on that than I will on the other four aspects. So this is what I'm going to be doing. I've highlighted the word served because this is what we're talking about now. Solemnly, Christ said to Peter, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." The service which Peter refused was the type of a higher cleansing. Christ had come to wash the heart up from the stain of sin. In refusing to allow Christ to wash his feet, Peter was refusing the higher cleansing included in the lower. He was really rejecting his Lord. It is not humiliating to the master to allow him to work for purification. The truest humility is to receive with thankful heart any provision made in our behalf and with earnestness to do service for Christ. Higher cleansing. What is this higher cleansing? When Jesus came to be baptized, John recognized in him a purity of character that he had never before perceived in any man. The very atmosphere of his presence was holy and awe-inspiring. Among the multitudes that had gathered about him at the Jordan, John had heard dark tales of crime and had met souls bowed down with the burden of myriad sins, but never had he come in contact with a human being from whom there was breathed an influence so divine. All this was in harmony with what had been revealed to John regarding the Messiah, yet he shrank from granting the request of Jesus. How could he, a sinner, baptize the sinless one? And why should he, who needed no repentance, submit to a rite that was a confession of guilt to be washed away. That's what baptism is. A confession of guilt to be washed away. I would like to entertain the idea that the higher cleansing in the partaking of the humility portion of the communion service is exactly the same as baptism. It is a review of the baptismal vows. And while you repent and be baptized, you repent and be served. What is this repentance for? It's because we have been guilty of violating one of God's commandments. Now, Christ, in many of his dissertations, gave many parables to explain the divine kingdom of heaven with things that people can relate to. And I'm going to do that today. This is the law of God. This is a law of man. And you know what it means. When you see one of these signs, you stop, wait until it's clear, and then proceed. That's a law of man. And I'm going to talk about a man that, at 25 years of age, went to work for a company. And to get to work for that company, he had to drive down from his house down a hill, come to a stop sign, and then enter the highway and go to the place of business. He did this 5 days a week. So 5 days, he came down to the stop sign, he stopped, waited for it to be clear, and proceeded. In 50 weeks, or 1 year, by the way, we're not going to give him any holidays, but we are going to give him 2 weeks vacation. In 50 weeks, he had stopped at that stop sign 250 times. When he was 25, he started this job. When he was 65, he retired. And on the last day of his employment, he had now stopped at this stop sign 250 times a year for 40 years, 10,000 times. But this time, he didn't stop. And a policeman saw him and pulled him over. But, officer, I've stopped at that stop sign 10,000 times. Can't you just let me go this once? One of the officers say, nope, here's your ticket. So, he goes to court. And he tries the same thing. But, Your Honor, I've stopped at that stop sign 10,000 times. Can't you just let me go once? And the judge says, nope, pay your $250 fine. You see, there are some people who think that my good deeds outweigh my bad deeds, and therefore I can get to go to heaven. But if the law of God is anything like the law of man's, and let me tell you, it's far superior, that doesn't work. I stop. I obey the law 10,000 times and I fail it once. I'm guilty. Now, of course, the penalty for man's laws, well, in some cases are the same as the penalty for God's laws or death, but in this case, it's not death. But we have the information that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So we've got a special today. Confessing means pleading guilty. You get to go free. You do not have to pay that penalty. And this goes right along with our lesson earlier today. How can this be justice? Plead guilty, go free. The only reason I could get free from this ticket is if somebody else would come and pay my fine. Number one. Number two, he cannot be guilty of running a stop sign. So Jesus could not be guilty of any sin, or his penalty would have been for himself, not for us. And that's why Satan tried so hard to get Jesus to sin. This is justification. We have the server, the person who's getting his feet washed, reminded of being baptized and coming to the communion service with the same confession of all of his sins, pleading guilty, and being justified. And the foot washing is an emblem of recognizing that. Justification in the foot washing ceremony. Now, what about the server? That's the person who does the foot washing. What does this represent? Let's read this. So Christ expressed his love for his disciples. Their selfish spirit filled him with sorrow, but he entered into no controversy with them regarding their difficulty. Instead, he gave them an example they would never forget. His love for them was not easily disturbed or quenched. He knew that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he came from God and went to God. He had a full consciousness of his divinity, but he had laid aside his royal crown and kingly robes and had taken the form of a servant. One of his last acts of his life on this earth was to gird himself as a servant and perform a servant's part. After Christ had washed the disciples' feet and had taken his garments and sat down again, he said to them, "Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him." And this is just not only washing each other's feet, but we are to do as Christ did in his entire life. And what is that? He lived a life of sinlessness, which we are to live. This is represented by the server that washes the served feet. This is sanctification. Now we proceed to the wine. And last time I did the communion service with you, I showed in detail, which I'm not going to go through completely this time, but somewhat. The communion service points to Christ's second coming. It was designed to keep this hope vivid in the minds of his disciples. Whenever they met together to commemorate his death, they recounted how he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." In their tribulation, they found comfort in the hope of their Lord's return. Unspeakably precious to them was the thought, "As often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." So the cup is showing Christ's death, his sacrifice for us, shed for the remission of sins. This is part of justification. Now we step on to the bread. What does that represent? The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in the remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup, and said, and supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament of my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. There are not many ways to heaven. Each one may not choose his own way. Christ says, I am the way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Since the first gospel sermon was preached when in Eden, it was declared that the seed of the woman should bruise the serpent's head. Christ had been uplifted as the way, the truth, and the life. He was the way when Adam lived, when Abel presented to God the blood of the slain lamb, representing the blood of the Redeemer. Christ was the way by which patriarchs and prophets were saved. He is the way by which alone we can have access to God. As Christ lived the law in humanity, so we may do if we will take hold of the strong for his strength, for strength. But we are not to place the responsibility of our duty upon others and wait for them to tell us what to do. We cannot depend for counsel upon humanity. The Lord will teach us our duty just as willingly as he will teach somebody else. If we come to him in faith, he will speak his mysteries to us personally. Our hearts will often burn within us as one draws nigh to commune with us, as he did within it. Those who decide to do nothing in any line that will displease God will know, after presenting their case before him, just what course to pursue, and they will receive not only wisdom, but strength. Power for obedience, for service will be imparted to them as Christ has promised. Whatever was given to Christ, the all things to supply the need of fallen man, was given to him as the head and representative of humanity. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. 1 John 3:22. Oops, I'm going to take a comment on this before I went to the next slide. So the eating of the bread is taking Christ's life into us to enable us to obey. It's sanctification. So we see that the communion service has justification and sanctification portrayed doubly, not only in the foot washing, but in the Lord's table. At this point, we are going to break for our foot washing, and I will provide you with some music during that break. And it takes about 15. the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Shall we bow our heads for prayer? Our most kind Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus that came and died for our sins. We pray for blessings upon this token of his body that we are going to take into ourselves, signifying that we have accepted him as a Lord in our life to guide and direct in all of our activities that we might reflect his image in all that we do and say. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This wine is the pure juice of the grape. It is not touched by fermentation. After the same manner also, he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. We bow our heads. Excuse me. Our most kind Heavenly Father. I tried to talk while I was still eating. We thank you for Jesus who came and died for our sins. He shed his blood to fulfill the demands of the law so that we might be able to partake of his eternal life in spite of the fact that we have disobeyed that law and asked for forgiveness and relied upon Christ's blood to cover our sins. We thank you for this. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When they had sung a hymn, they went out on the Mount of Olives. Amen. Thank you so much, dear Elder Snipes. Thank you so very much for coming and leading out in this High Sabbath service. And praise God for giving His Son that we all might be able to be cleansed, purified, made white, and to serve God in the beauty of holiness. Dear ones, are there any questions, any comments that you have for our dear Elder Jim? Please go right ahead. Well, praise God. It was all well received, dear brother, well understood.
There was one thing I failed to mention that I think maybe now is a good time to do it. Since the foot washing is a review of the baptismal vows, I understand why many parents are reluctant to have their children partake in the communion service until they have been baptized. But I don't see that as a hard and fast rule, so I have no problem with those who go ahead and let the young people, once they understand what's going on, even before they're baptized.
Amen. I fully agree. It's never too early to start the children recognizing humility and service. Amen. Dear ones, are there any questions, any comments, any testimonies, insights, thoughts, any songs that you'd like to bring forth at this time? Please go right ahead.
Elder Rob, sorry, before we move forward, I didn't quite get what Brother Jim Snipes just said. I inferred from what you repeated that it's not too early for the children to participate in the foot washing portion of the service, okay, but not the communion part until they're baptized. Okay, entiendo. Gracias. Thank you.
Yeah, amen. The foot washing part can be performed at any age, even if the individual has not accepted Christ, because it deals with humility, it deals with service. And as our dear brother brought out, it deals with baptism. And so that idea can lead the children to the aspect of accepting Christ and becoming baptized. Now, after they're baptized, they can partake of the Lord's Supper because they've already accepted Christ. They have partaken of Him, the bread, and their sins have been forgiven through His spilt blood, the grape juice. But before they have accepted Christ, they're not to that point of being able to partake in the communion part, the Lord's Supper part. But foot washing deals with humility and service. And so it's never too young to ingrain those virtues in the children's understanding and character. Well, again, dear brother, thank you so much for leading out in this High Sabbath service. Our love and prayers and our brotherly or sisterly hugs are sent your way. And thank you so very much for being our brother and elder in Christ Jesus. Dear ones, have a wonderful remaining Sabbath day, and those on the other side of the world, have a wonderful new week. We look forward to having you back in fellowship soon. And until then, keep looking up.
Keep looking up. My God is still the same today. Keep looking up. He will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up. The darkest cloud will roll away. So not doubt, but keep on looking.